Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassions. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Greta, who is here to speak with us about a recent article that she wrote for the Monastery Newsletter. Welcome, Greta.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Hey, Greta, quick sound check. Do I sound okay to you?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Oh, excellent. Good. Well, thanks for being with us this afternoon to talk about, it's always fun to, in those newsletter articles, to hear from Sangha what they're seeing in their own practice and how they write about that. I always find that really inspiring and helpful. So maybe, you know, very likely many folks on the call have read the newsletter, most recent newsletter, but some may not have. So maybe you could start by talking about what you saw, what you chose to write about.
Well, my title was An Abundance of Riches, and what I can say about it, you know, leading right up until this very moment, is being asked to write an article kind of starts a whole practice opportunity that doesn't really stop with the submission of the article, whether I thought it did or not, because now I've been practicing since I got the request to participate today. So, yeah, it's just...
The whole thing is a workshop, huh?
Exactly. And it's, you know, when we look at practice as being it's all for us, which is how the article concluded, it's really, it's magnificent in the way life lays it out for us. And we just, I've just been looking at it so much with this opportunity to practice with the year-long retreat, too, in the sense that once we realize that it's all for us, mm-hmm. And if we put on those glasses that say the universe is a friendly place, then there's this possibility of relaxing a little bit with it and just like, okay, you know, give it everything you've got. I'm going to practice with all of it, whether I, you know, hear this voice or whether I have this sensation, it doesn't matter. It is all for me and it's all for the ending of my suffering. And then the suffering in the world.
So beautifully put, Greta. I just love that connection you made with when we really get it, that the universe is friendly and that there are things that are going to come up. I mean, you're asked to write an article, right? And so based on whatever, you know, the karma that follows me around is, all this, you know, sensation or stories or, you know, conditioning is going to say whatever it says to me. And if we get it, that it's all for my waking up, it's all for my benefit, as you say, it can be completely relaxing. We don't have to expect that it's not going to come up. We don't have to expect that it's going to go a certain way. We can just go forth, as you say, giving it everything we've got and practicing with all of it.
Right. Right, and if we have the orientation that it's all for me, as I write it about in the article, you know, I've for years been practicing with a particular stewardship opportunity, and in so many ways, it just felt like I was back at my desk at work, just grinding it out, and oh my God, I've got all this to do and these deadlines to meet, and if I don't get it done right, and people will think poorly of me, and da, 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 da. And then I hear someone say something like, well, you know, I've just been sending in all this stuff, and I just, you know, I'm just hoping that there's someone on the other end receiving this stuff and maybe even grateful for it. I just fell over. I just had never seen the possibility that not only could I be grateful, I should be grateful because there's somebody offering to assist me, you know, instead of, oh my God, I'm the only one. Here's somebody who's offering to assist me, and I can't see it in that way. In fact, if I really stay with conditioned mind, I would see it as a burden because they're just bothering me and keeping me from doing my job. And yeah. Yet, you know, it's really, we've talked about it before. It's kind of it's a quote. It's our responsibility to be happy. And I've just been kind of looking at everything with gratitude lately, and I just feel like this particular thing showed me that it is my responsibility to be grateful, because it just opens up so much of, you know, the way we can end suffering within us, between us, etc.
And I project that connection you're making with "It's All for Me" is that we realize to be called to that responsibility is an enormous gift, right? Because, you know, conditioning would want to use "should" and responsibility as, oh, geez. I mean, that's what makes our world smaller and smaller, right? I mean, I feel this way at work, so I'll quit my job, you know. Oh, now mm-hmm. I feel this way mm-hmm. in this volunteer opportunity. Well, then I'll quit the volunteer opportunity, right? We get talked into making our world smaller and smaller. But when we shift to that orientation that you're pointing at, it's all for me. And so, wow, to see, which is what you wrote about in the article, is hearing someone else on the radio show talk about stewarding. I think it was Peace Quotes. Was it Peace Quotes that they were sending in, if I remember
yes.
correctly?
Yes.
So someone was talking about sending Peace Quotes in and all of what you just described. And that mirrored for you, sounds like somewhat invisible orientation that you had, and you saw this whole other possibility, which came forth as, wow, I have a responsibility to have this gratitude and to be happy and to be willing to rise to that.
Right, right. And the other thing that I find really interesting that we've been talking about, and Sherry talked about it on that Sunday workshop of, you know, parsing our personal pronouns, is it's also an opportunity to let go of the I that has a responsibility to do anything. Because in writing the article, I was moved to use the language of practice and remove my personal pronoun being all about me. So I may have used some of them in the article, but I really tried in the process of writing to see where I could let go of the I, me, mine place. Because it isn't about me. Life is offering me this possibility of being grateful and living in the process of gratitude. And once I'm seeing that, then it's easier and easier to go to that place, and I can let go of any ego identity, because we talk about it in that way that if I'm identified with a positive or a negative, quotes around all of it, that's still an identity. And yet, here we are, you know, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to practice being grateful for the possibility of seeing whatever I see.
Oh, gosh, it's so well put, Greta. Because I project with that letting go, that orientation of I, me, mine, without that, there's just this, there's presence. And in that presence, gratitude, unconditional love, I mean, there's so many things, the joy we could put in that are what's left. You know, it's like Sherry, you know, a famous quote of Sherry's, joy is what's there when you stop doing everything else. Peace is what's there when you stop doing everything else. And that's what you're describing.
Yeah, what's interesting, what just dropped in is, you know, I know Sherry says things over and over again, and for some, you know, there's some part that just, like, why does she keep repeating herself? And then one day you really get it.
Exactly.
Oh,
and then you realize,
this is it.
Oh, thank God she keeps saying it over and over and over.
Yep. and then that's all there is, right? This is it. And
that's all there is.
Yep.
That's all there
yep.
is.
Yeah. And it's just like, then you really are in gratitude.
Because there's truly
no place else to be.
No place else to be. I can't tell you, Greta, how many recordings I have where I'm recording along and the energy's building and I'm seeing this thing and I'll say something like, you know, it just feels like, I don't know, like the quality of my life is determined by where my attention is. I hear it and realize, right, that's what we're talking about, you know? And it's just, but as Sherry says, That's what we're practicing for, is to have our own direct experience of it. Yeah.
And I am just so grateful for, the guide and the participants and all the ways we have that help us see that. You know, we might, one day might not work one way, but, I wouldn't be here talking to you today, obviously, and my life wouldn't be the way my life is if I hadn't had the possibility of practicing in this way.
That's exactly where I was going, and why it's so helpful to have different folks writing those articles for newsletters,
sure,
for calling into the radio show. You know, as Ashwini says, it takes every note of intelligence because, you know, the way, in this case, Greta writes about it, you know that's going to spark someone to say something, see something that they hadn't seen quite in that way, and then they're going to get on a radio show and they're going to say that, they're going to talk about what they're seeing, and then that's going to spark somebody else to see something in a way that they hadn't. It's endless. Yeah.
Yep. Fortunate for us, it's endless.
Fortunate for us, it is endless, indeed. Well, Greta, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
Me too. Take good care.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And this is normally where I would be handing the show over to Michael and Sherry. But today I have the great pleasure of standing in for Michael, and I'm hoping that Sherry is live. Welcome, Sherry.
So you're going to turn the show over to Jen and Sherry now?
Jen and Sherry, exactly.
Not the host of Good News Update, but the host of
exactly.
Open Air,
right. That runs us into some of those problems, those pronouns,
the
parsing.
Who am I? I love that conversation. That was a fabulous conversation. And so much of it. But the last thing that Greta said, she said, yes, I really enjoyed myself. And I thought, that's it. That's it. That's what we're going for. I'm enjoying myself. And
because
it is the least selfish thing anybody can do.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like that relaxation that she was describing. When we get it, that
yep.
it's all for me, and there's no such thing mm-hmm. as a mistake, and I'm not going to be able to avoid the voices. I'm not even going to waste my time trying to do that, because they're just going to be there doing whatever they do. But if I get it that the universe is friendly and it's all for me, then I can just relax and have fun with all of
that's
it.
That's right. And if we add in the next fascinating element, that this is a non-separate reality. So the world of duality is an illusion. There is no such thing. So there is no self and other, as we're fond of saying on a daily basis. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. And so if we really get that, then obviously this is all for me, and there isn't anybody else. And so why not have a good time?
Exactly. Really takes the pressure off.
It really does. Because
it does.
Because everybody is in the same place.
Yeah.
Right? There for
right.
you, there's nobody but you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's
yeah.
your experience of it. I mean, it's a universal truth. But your experience is there's nobody other than Jen. So, you know, whatever anybody's saying or whatever they're doing, well, that's all Jen. Okay, well, why would I get upset about what Jen is doing? I am Jen. Jen is me.
That is so big, Sherry.
Have I gone a little too far out there?
No, I'm doing the split person thing again. I'm being the host of the show and at the same time having a gigantic awareness as you're saying that. Wow. Thank you for that. That was really, really helpful.
It's
I'll
good,
listen back
isn't
to
it?
The recording.
I mean,
it's really good.
Yeah. Well, it's just so wonderful. It's wonderful to realize it, to really to get it. Not, I mean, we say these things, but it's what Greta was talking about. I always love it when somebody says they get to a place of being happy that I repeat myself endlessly. Because I know the rolling of eyes and the shaking of heads, and the, oh my God, she is senile. I remember when I had that, reached that conclusion about my teacher, I thought, oh my God, he's senile. And here I am, stuck. And then getting it that, well, actually, I don't know what he's talking about. So I'm actually pretty happy that he continues to say the same things, because that is a manageable enough unmanageable. I really don't need any more information not to be able to get. So I'm always happy when that happens, that somebody goes, oh, that is what it's about. We just say these things over and over and over and over and over because they're dropping in, getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the marrow of our being.
I think that's the gratitude we've all gotten to with the repetition of the year-long retreat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we can thank Ashwini for that. You know, I've said over and over, you know, when she comes up with these things, and I kind of go, really? Okay. All right. I'm sure you're seeing something here that I'm not quite seeing yet, but I can see. We do a lot of repeating, so I can't imagine. Yes, because we're going to go from the content into just pure process, just completely focusing on process. And then we just watch ourselves go to those deeper and deeper and deeper places and realize, again, that there isn't any repeating. Nothing is being repeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
yep.
Fun.
Yep. So I have some announcements.
Not many, I bet.
Not many, actually. We're not able to gather in too many.
No.
Well, we're able to gather in many
at
virtual
this point,
ways. But.
That's right. But at this point, in a regular pre-pandemic year, you'd have a list. Michael would be, you know, 5 minutes.
3 p.m. There is nothing wrong with your retreats. Another retreat coming up.
Right.
Then a weekend here and almost time to open New Year's.
That's right. That's right. And then we're going to be going to Pennsylvania. And then, be sure to come to New Year's. And anyway, we do what we can.
We
what do you got?
Really, we do have a very fun thing coming up this Sunday, which is a workshop called When Things Fall Apart.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to explore the gift of transcendence that comes with a dark or difficult time. And registration is required by noon Pacific time on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and I think
another
this
fabulous,
is this Jen? Jen, is this the first one where we've followed up on that suggestion I made that we ask people, you know, if you can, kick in $10 for it or as much as you can possibly spare this point so we all keep
it's
going?
I do know there is a $10 registration. That's the minimum registration fee. Yep.
Just I didn't want to startle anybody when they got there because they're used to all of these things not having a charge.
Right.
Now, of course, if somebody, you know, they just think, nope, that 10 is not now, not this week, then just contact us, let us know.
Yep, absolutely. And our next offering is taking care of our bodies and minds seems more crucial than ever in these times. An at-home gentle yoga series beginning August 14th provides support in cultivating and or strengthening a regular practice of stewarding the body. And for anyone who wants to hear a testimonial on that, we actually looked at that in Good News last week. I was the person talking about it, and I'm so grateful that our yoga teacher is offering that to us in this time.
Yeah, and you know, I probably with other people too, but wherever I go, whenever I'm reading anything about what's going on with people during the pandemic, That's the thing. In fact, I saw a thing recently. If you're having trouble keeping up with your workouts, having an accountability buddy, I thought, we are such trendsetters, aren't we? But that can be really helpful to have that kind of support because it's something people struggle with, keeping up with their fitness, their yoga practice or whatever. So, having somebody come right into our home and
Yeah, my second giant awareness of the, you just gave me my second giant awareness of the show already. I had not seen to pair it with the commitment buddies thing. That's brilliant. The yoga.
Yeah.
And then if you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, enjoy the extra support of meditating with Sangha with virtual meditation groups. And for a full schedule of these conference call meditation sessions, visit the virtual meditation group's webpage at livingcompassion.org, which is where you can find out about all of these opportunities and more.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Shall we take our first caller, Sherry?
Oh, let's.
All right. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Hi, Jen. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sangha. It's Todd B. from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Well, hello, Todd. What are you, what's going on with you?
Just
what are
just
you
enjoying
up to?
Life and loving, loving practice. Loving practice. Just so grateful for practice. And through the pandemic, it's been such a lifeline. I've hopped on board almost every practice opportunity so far, and just want to say thank you for everyone who is supporting this practice. And it's for me, and wow, in that good news update, I was right there on every word. I was like, wow, that's so my experience on it again and
that,
again.
Is that all,
yeah.
That all of it's for you, huh? And
yeah,
to
truly
take full advantage of it. I just feel so sad when I encounter all the information that comes out, you know, about people feeling isolated and alone and unsupported and afraid. And I wish they could all be with us because that's not our experience.
It certainly is not my experience. There's been some dramatic changes in my area. We've done, I guess, a fairly good job of flattening the curve and limiting new cases and hospitalizations. But I mean, it's still very present, and our medical people and our medical advisors and our city folks are keeping us, don't get too complacent. We kind of like practice, like, you know. It's like
don't go
don't
to sleep.
Too,
things are going well. Don't go unconscious because things are going well.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And isn't it fascinating to see such a staple of awareness practice? You know, that's the big danger. People practice like mad when they're suffering. Then start to feel better and, you know, well, why do I need to practice? I'm happy. I'm having a good time. And then right back in another hole and suffering. And so to see the application of that in something like this, you know, it's always life and death, right?
Yeah.
So we see it with the suffering or the ability to practice awareness, and then we see it with our physical health and well-being, and that people can just forget, go unconscious, put themselves and other people in great peril.
Right, exactly. You know what, Sherry? I apologize. My neighbor's
I heard
at the door,
it too.
And I don't. I'm just
I heard
meet,
it too, Todd.
I'm just going to mute myself
later.
Quickly. Yeah. Let me just mute.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Either way, Todd. Either way.
We're done. Are you there?
Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah. Well, if you want to mute for a second and speak to your neighbor, or if you want to go, it's up to you.
Actually,
whatever.
No, it's good. It's all good. Thank you, Sherry. She wasn't. It's all good. We're back. We're back live.
Okay. All right.
She needed to drop something off that I'd asked earlier, and she thought it was critical, but it wasn't. But it's all good. So, you're saying something about life and death?
Well, just to see that same process. To see the very big price that people, human beings, pay for indulging unconsciousness. For that, glad we're through that. I can take a little break now. I can coast for a while. And just to realize, actually, no, we can't.
No. Well, thank you for that reminder. That feels like a process of the cycling through that I go through, because I've been practicing a while. I came to this practice severely suicidal and depressed and literally at kind of wit's end and life's end. And then through practice, I've gotten to a place of, you know, whew, a lot of suffering is chopped away. But to hear that, you know, repeated encouragement of, you know, be very, very careful, because condition will, you know, campaign to coast, or the big campaign, which has happened to me, is the quit.
Yes.
You know, the quit.
Yes.
And it's horrible. I quit for a while, and it was horrible. Like how you've explained it on so many different levels of how that quit occurs. And then when you quit, it really is just a fast trip to hell. And it was. In fact, the suffering was almost worse in the quit than before practice.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had the awareness
that
I could end suffering.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, well, because before, you know, there's a certain level of your suffering is your fault.
Okay.
There's a certain level of that. But it's spread out. It's other people's fault, too, right?
Yeah, of course.
And it's circumstances and that sort of thing. And
but
then when we know that I know how to end suffering, I have had that experience, and I have given all that up. And now I'm back in a place of suffering. That truly is a hell state.
It truly is.
It's not an ending point, because it is the kind of thing most people have to learn. No, actually, I can't quit. It's like an addict. No, actually, I can't use again. No, I can't. But in order to learn that, I had to fall for that two or three times. Right?
Yes.
For most people, it's that way. No, actually, I can't do that. And you know what? I don't want to do that. I choose not to do that. So now I'm not vulnerable to those voices in a way that I was before, because I know from my own direct experience, no, that's not for me. That's a very good thing.
Yeah, it is a very good thing. That was so beautifully laid out, because it's true. I am not as vulnerable when the cyclical cycle of quitting comes back around. As you've often said, you can get to a place in practice where it's almost comical. Like you're watching a stand-up comedian present something that is just so ludicrous that you just, I can't buy into that.
That's right.
You know?
That's exactly right.
I can't buy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So ego is now going to try to convince me that quitting paying attention in order to follow it off into unconsciousness is going to improve my life. No.
Right.
That's so
In
good.
Fact, absolute opposite that happens is the improvement of life is actually the true opposite, is life gets really horrible really quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
Really quickly. Yeah. Anyway, just deep gratitude for all the practice, all the Sangha. Ashwini, yourself, the monks, the monastery, and just wanted to tell you I'm deeply grateful to be a part of Sangha and a part of practice, and thank you for everything.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you for
My
all
pleasure.
You do.
Take good care. It's an honor and a privilege. Thank you. You take good care, too. And thank you, Jen, for hosting.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Sherry, I can't remember exactly what it was you said, but recently in another call you were making an analogy between wearing the mask. Oh, I think it was wearing the mask, you know, wearing a mask out in the world, and how we show up for ourselves and for each other. And I really heard that in that conversation with Todd, how crucial that is.
Yes. And with what he was saying, whether it's, you know, I come to practice, and this is true for all of us. We come to practice, and there are people there practicing.
Yeah.
And they are there to save us, right? Because if they weren't there practicing, they wouldn't be available for us. And so then we practice along, and we go through all of the things that Todd was talking about, and we get to the place where, I get it. I don't suffer. I mean, I might have little blips here and there, but I don't suffer. I certainly don't suffer like I used to. This is really great. Now I'm kind of at a crossroads. I could either just go off and enjoy the rest of my life, which is different from what we were just talking about of, you know, quitting practice and right. falling into a hellhole. That's not it. Mm-hmm. I can just enjoy practice for me.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Or I can be what Todd was just exemplifying. I can be a demonstration of, a conversation about, an example of, of what practice can do in a person's life. I can be a participant. I can be a contributor. I can be a supporter, right? And now I'm one of the ones who's here when somebody else comes who's suffering and is looking for a way to end suffering and finds a group of people who are doing that, who can support them as they. And that's how this has gone on for not just the 2,500 years since the Buddha, but, you know, they were doing it. They were there for him, right? People yes. were there for him when he needed to yes. end suffering.
Yes. Yeah. And it really, it's that invitation that Greta was talking about. It, because that takes our practice to a whole other level, because talk about getting over yes. the I, me, mine. It's not my practice.
Yes.
Not me.
Yeah. Right. And that's it, isn't it, Jen? How can it be? This is one of the great Zen paradoxes, right? How can it be all for me and be utterly selfless? How is that possible?
Yeah.
And the only way that we can get that is to live it. You know, just there comes a point in our practice when we realize those two things are absolutely true.
Yeah. And to have someone who's willing to tell us over and over and over and over and over.
Those two things are absolutely true. Right. Well, who never gets tired of it, which is another
yeah.
one of those places that we get to in practice where, yeah. oh, it really is all new in every moment. Wow.
Yeah.
Get that. It's not possible to be bored. How could we be bored? It's all new in every moment.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, here is our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine.
Hi. I am so glad everything's new in every moment, because I have a feeling I'm about to revisit something I've already talked to you about. But it's still...
Well, it'll be news to me.
It'll be
so
news to
right
you.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I've noticed that when I hear a conversation in practice, most frequently on the year-long retreat radio show, about turning the attention to what is true, I go immediately to my head trying to figure out what that means, what is true. And it's the same kind of process I'm noticing when I record and listen, and I do the two-handed recording and listening, and I speak mm-hmm. first from the one who's suffering, you know, or feeling mm-hmm. stuck in the suffering, and then switch it, and there's this kind of not knowing what to say, you know, nothing's there right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right away or ever?
Well, sometimes it does feel like it's just really not there. I have to keep doing it. And then sometimes it just
mm-hmm.
feels like,
Yeah. Okay.
And, yeah, and other times it's a matter of waiting. But,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
yeah, so, and it's like truth, back to what's true, it's like truth is a thing. And I'm going to be able to grasp it.
Well, truth is a thing, Catherine. So, and you will be able to grasp it. Let's break this down, okay?
Okay.
So if you imagine that there is a great, huge ball, and it's called truth, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then there's a little spot on that great, huge ball. Little teeny tiny, you have to put binoculars in front of them on the microscope of your glasses see this little tiny, tiny, tiny dot, and that's called ego. Okay? If you try to go up into your head and figure out what's true about ego, oh, it's just going to be a grisly operation. Because ego is the illusion of being separate from that capital T truth that you suspect is there, which I confirmed is there. Okay? So that capital T truth is what we would call intelligence or wisdom, love, compassion, kindness. It all of the attributes of life. Okay, and that's where people get into their capital letters, right? Trying to indicate that there is something that contains the lowercase life. I know, as an editing kind of person, you can appreciate these images.
And so
when you're asked to look at what's true, you're being asked to look at capital T truth. What is true about life? Not about the ego. We know what's true about the ego. It's a mess. It's a suffering mess. Right?
Yeah.
Because it wants to, lest anybody out there be feeling sorry for it at this point, it wants to be separate from capital L life. It wants to be over there just miserable about the, you know, counting its grievances and being upset and not liking this and not liking that. It wants to live in that little right, wrong, good, bad duality, imaginary world that it wants to exist in. And all it wants is some attention on that, so that it has the spotlight, it has center stage, and it's really important. And so what we do in practice, when you redirect attention to what is true, you're looking at life attributes. That's what's true. And let me ask you this. Is the moon full in St. Louis?
I don't know, actually.
Well, it is. And so you'll want to take a look at it. It was actually full last night. I was kind of joking about that. But if we want to go into the physical world to see how life manifests without the baggage of ego's disliking and judgment and griping, then we go out into nature, right? And we see the trees and the sky and the moon and the stars and the birds and the, okay? And we have an experience of that. And we realize that's what's true, just in and of itself as it is. No conversation required.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that is so, that's beautiful. That's so helpful. And I'm seeing that I was looking at kind of what's true about me, in quotes. What's true about my life.
Which is really important, because what it's encouraging you to realize is what we say all the time. You are a unique expression of life. In the same way that bird is, that moon is, that tree is, we have a Catherine. And what's true about that unique expression of life is all those same qualities. When you leave the moment, right, when you leave the space between the thoughts and go off with ego into conditioned mind, into that false duality, then, well, sometimes she's this and sometimes, but she's like that, and yeah, and she's always been that, and yeah, and she can't do that, and she's not unique, yeah? And that's what's not true.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it.
That's great. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Go happy. Well,
go happy.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Catherine. You know, my very favorite thing about that, Sherry, is that in the exact same way we were saying earlier, like with Greta, for example, how every person you know, brings their perspective and, you know, writes an article or whatever so that we all get to hear it. In the same way, mm-hmm. when people bring their questions and prompt the guide in that way, it creates this very specific, amazing opening to say the same things we always say, but in a very particular way, which, at least for me, always shifts things around. I love that.
Right. Because each question evokes a different response.
Right? Exactly.
From life, which, you know, that is the job description here, is to the best of the ability, get completely out of the way and let life speak to Catherine.
Ugh. And then what Catherine asked, right, that willingness to go, you know, this thing keeps coming, there's this rub, it keeps happening. I notice that every time, and then to be willing to bring that question, and
yep.
there, that's a generosity. It evokes that response
yep.
that we all get to see. Oh, so good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, here
We're
is our
together.
Next adventure. We are going to hear the ad, hopefully. So...
yeah. Good luck, Jan.
Exactly. I think one of the things none of the other hosts have said, which I just bless their hearts, they're so patient, is how much the software has changed and made it harder for the host to manage all the different components. So, anyway, it's an adventure, but I'm pretty sure we'll hear the ad in just a moment. So,
and if not... Hey, we have other things to do, so don't worry about it.
Exactly. All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Well done. Well
done. Open air with Sherry Huber. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, you know,
right.
Jen, that advertisement for those lovely books that Sherry does. The Sherry. It reminded me, listening to that song of Trish Bruxford Culligan and the Splash was the name of the album that came from, I think, which it still gets my vote for some of the loveliest kind of inspirational music. I thought it do a little commercial.
You know,
for Trish.
I'm so glad you said that, Sherry, because there are a ton of people who, I mean, I always think, oh yeah, we all know about that, but probably mostly not. I mean, my gosh, that was years and years and years ago that we were all hearing that music for the first time. Yeah, Splash is the name of the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, luckily Google is so forgiving, so you don't really have to spell it right, but it's Trish is her first name, and then it's a, I don't even know if it's hyphenated, but two last names.
That's
Bruxford.
Yeah.
Culligan.
Yeah, I think it is hyphenated. But if you just Googled Splash, might be enough. Yeah,
and I can't say the title of the song, but the reason we know about that CD is that, we knew nothing about Trish Bruxford Culligan. She sent us that CD, I'll never forget, opening that CD in the mail with a beautiful letter that she wrote saying, you know, I forget again the title of the song, but one of the most amazing songs on it, she said, this song comes from the transformation that's happened to me in the work with Sherry Huber, reading the book. Because this was long before, I mean, we barely had email at this point.
There's Nothing Wrong With You, I think, was the book that inspired her.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a song on that CD that's essentially our practice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So here is our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Laura.
Well, aloha, Laura.
Hi.
What's going on?
What a heart-opening show. Well, I realized when I put myself in the queue that I have been talked out for months of putting myself in the queue because I'm getting a message that I have all these other opportunities and I should leave open air for other people. So,
and then tonight there were a lot of messages that's not the approach we want to take, huh?
Exactly. That's why I said it's so heart-opening. So I'm very happy to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. So what I am looking at is, what I'm considering is moving. And what I'm seeing at this point is there's no right or wrong about it, and that as I go along, a decision will come, but there's no urgency. And the other thing that I'm the side effect of even considering this is I am so appreciative for every moment that I have here.
Yes. I can relate very, very strongly to that. Yeah. And so part of it, I hear that it's being twofold. One, there's a patience with it, right? Because you're not going to get urgent and try to make something happen. This is dropped in for you. It could happen. You'll see if it does when it does.
Right.
And in the meantime, you want to really enjoy where you are because you don't know how long that may or may not last.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because one of my children is going through the same kind of process right now about the potential to move physically, and it's so interesting to be able to support him in that because it's also supporting me, right? Like,
yeah,
just being
you hear yourself saying things to him that you need to hear,
yes,
and probably
exactly.
Vice versa. Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly, because he's very wise. Yeah, and what I'm also seeing in this is there's this huge invitation to move into fantasy of how I used to live my life before practice, of when that happens, then everything will be wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And to just keep that, again, it's one of those places. It can sound negative unless you realize it's not, but to be aware that, it will be what it is, just as this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I will, I'll still be bringing me to the party, right?
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Laura, I'm curious, did this just kind of drop in? Did it surprise you when it occurred to you that this might be a possibility or something that you would be interested in pursuing? Or
it did, and I'll tell you, Sherry, every time I take a Socratic email class, here's an inadvertent advertisement, I come to such deep insights that I end up making major decisions. And which it may not be an ad if people are frightened of that, but so this actually throughout it came as a result of going through the process of looking at what I was looking at during the Socratic email class.
And so I'm guessing from what you're saying then that it's a process that that we do have to get used to in awareness practice and learn to love. That what's being stripped away in practice, which ego despises, right? It's all of the ways that we are trapped into not being true to ourselves. That's kind of a convoluted sentence. Did you go with me?
I think I did. And what comes to mind is when I owned a house at one point in my life, the first house that I ever bought by myself, and I was raising my kids in it and absolutely loved that house. And then as the kids grew up and started moving away, it dropped in that I didn't need this house anymore, even though I still loved it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And so it's that kind of a process, I think, of just what now?
Yes, well, again, the part that I think awareness practice brings to us is, in most cases, so that would drop in, that, you know, I don't really need this house any longer. Well, but, you know, you can't, what are you going to do? Sell it? You can't sell it. What if you can never buy another house?
Yeah.
Or what if And so that's what awareness practice strips away until we really are in touch with the, you know, I don't actually need this house any longer, which from ego's perspective is such an outrageous way to live. You know, you've got to live in concern and care and worry, and you've got to be cautious and sensible and frightened.
And scarcity.
It's scarcity, especially scarcity, yeah. And so as that falls away, then we really are in touch with what's underneath that, which is, it's the heart, where there isn't a fear, where there is an awareness that it's fine. The universe is a friendly place. It's fine. This is all for me. This life is for me.
Mm-hmm.
For my awakening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good. Very exciting. And I also hear that you don't know anything yet.
I know nothing.
Yes,
it's a lovely
isn't that just be. It's a yes, especially when you know you don't have to figure it out, right? You can go along in the same way you were going along when it occurred to you in the first place, and then something else will occur to you.
I have a lot of support in my life, and Sangha is a big part of that, and I know that I would not be in this place. I mean, I would be that, you know, isolated person alone in a dark room without this practice, and so I'm feeling very, very grateful. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I know that feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited for you. I can't wait for the next installment. See what
Me
drops
too.
In. All right. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Jen.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Yeah, that's so fun, Sherry. Another Sangha adventure begins, right? That we'll get to get updated on shows, and it's so great.
It really is wonderful. And we don't have to strive to be fearless. We just have to drop fear and trust that as we've been saying, this life is for us. It is for our awakening. We're fine.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine. It's fine.
As you said that, it really reminded me of what you say of, don't try to get rid of what you don't want. Add what you do want. So don't try to get rid of the fear, right? I just, when you were talking about the full moon, earlier, I so had that experience this morning at whatever it was, 4:35, and just, wow, just being there with that full moon, and it was that feeling of add what you do want. Just be here with mm-hmm. this. You don't need to get mm-hmm. rid of all the other stuff. It just pales in comparison.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Literally. Exactly. Literally. All right. Here is our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on here, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Vanessa in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Vanessa.
Hi.
Are you staying dry? That's my first question. Are you staying dry? Do you have power?
Yes, we have power, and we've been having a lot of rain, and it really rained a lot yesterday, but today it's fine. We are it was just like a big rainstorm for us, so I think as it's moved north, it's much more intense.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of hearing. Yeah. All right, well, what else is going on now that I'm clear about the weather?
Okay. Let's see. Well, I guess, I don't know. It seems like during the day there's always like a million things that I have questions about, and then get in the queue and they're all gone. But
they evaporate.
One thing that
that's when that old Zen thing, Vanessa, about the person is really troubled and their mind is so just driving them nuts, and so the teacher says, show me what the problem is.
Yeah,
I can't find it. Okay, well there, all better. So that's all that we need to not have any problems. We just get in the queue, and then ego goes away, and everything is good.
Right, right. Anyway. It's kind of like what, almost like what Jen was just saying about all you have to do is add what you want. You don't have to get rid of all the things that you don't want. They just go away when you turn your attention
to the queue.
The things that you do want when you get in the queue.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Sounded like there was something there.
One thing that I am Well, one thing that I am looking at that's been really fun and
with my Zen coach, I've sort of, and through the 200 recordings and everything, I've sort of, well, bear with me on the pronouns and everything else, but I feel
there's a
sub-personality, that I have mm-hmm. sort of become familiar with, and she is... I feel like she really has been running my life, but she's only about 7 or something like this. And she's very young, and she's always, she's really concerned about getting it right and always scanning and being safe and all of this stuff. And what I found is that really I've made a few recordings where I've just, said, you know what? I've got this. You can go and play. You're off the hook. You've done a great job. You're all set. You're not going to be in trouble. That's one of her big concerns, is getting in trouble. And you can go and play. And like grown-ups here, and it's amazing. Like, it works. Like, she's just like, and she's gone, she's, and then I or whoever is left to do whatever it is that I'm doing that she was, or I don't even know, that energy was like frantically trying to get it done, but is distracted and can't focus and all this stuff. But if I'm just like, I got this, you go play, it's gone.
Yes.
Or
yes.
She's gone.
Yes,
or something.
Exactly so. Well, let's look at it this way. So 7 years old, that's is that kind of second grade, right? Somewhere around second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And and she got it that, whoa, there were standards at home, but here there are really standards. Okay, so this is big. I got to know things. I got to act right. I don't want to get in trouble, and I'm not really sure how not to get in trouble. God, it's anxiety producing. Okay, so there's the emotional tone of it, right? And then what happens with most people is we go ahead and, in quotes, grow up, but the emotion stays right there. So now you're 16, and you've got a whole nother, you know, there's dating and driving and looking ahead to school, college, and all of this stuff that's going on. But that emotion is still there. So there's still the same kind of frantic or anxious or nervous. You know, I don't know. I need to get it. Are you relating at all?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then we just keep going, is my point. and then you get married, and now you have kids of your own. But there's still that same 7-year-old emotional reaction to things that never got addressed. Because, first of all, we didn't know it was a thing. And we didn't know that there was an alternative. Right? So we just keep surviving on top of these karmic reactions, right? Or conditioned reactions that happen. And so what you've realized now, I'm going to credit practice with this, okay? What you've realized through your practice is that, but wait a minute, if I can be aware of that, then clearly I'm not that, right? So here is awareness. Mm-hmm. I can see what needs to be done. I know how to do it. I'm a grown woman. I'm probably not going to get into trouble for too very much. And so I don't need to be an emotional 7-year-old any longer. I can be right here in my life taking responsibility for doing what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it feels like?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's perfectly happy to go because she didn't want to be there in the first place. She didn't want to be there in second grade, let alone decades later.
Right. Yeah. 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 And it feels like as I, you know, whatever, let her go, or however you say that, more of that playfulness, that energy is actually mine to have.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely the case. Absolutely the case. Yes. Because there's nothing about that way of acting that is a requirement. The energy, so she could have been 7 and just deliriously happy and laughing with her friends and playing. But that isn't the way it went because she got focused on trying to do it right and be the right person and get the right answers and get approval and all of those kinds of things. So she became, instead of just a, you know, laughy, play little kid, that all that life force got turned into anxiety and striving and second guessing and watching herself. Right. So now, without her needing to do that, all of that energy is freed up to just be what it is, which is just life force, and you can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing real about any of that. It's the attention to it and the interpretation. It's the conversation. That's what we mean about the conversation in conditioned mind. So if you're in there in quotes, with her in this anxiety-ridden conversation about responsibility and doing it right, then that's real. But if you don't give attention, in real in quotes, if you don't give attention to it, if you're not in that conversation, it's not real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it also feels, it does feel real, and this is maybe where the question is, or whatever is, I don't even know. It does feel real for me to talk to her or something and give her permission to be like, yes, you did great, and send her away. Like, it does feel
every
like...
Every time
or not
she's
send
there.
Her away.
No,
yeah.
Just let her go. Every time she's there. But
yeah.
What you don't need to do, Vanessa, is keep her around.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Because yeah. She doesn't, she has no needs, right? She
no.
is just something that is brought into an appearance by circumstances. Without those circumstances, there's just the life force.
Yeah.
And so you can enjoy that. You can be playful. You can have fun. When attention goes to that, oh, my God, what if I get in trouble? What if I do something wrong? Then, whoosh, all that karma is in place, and that feels very real. As soon as you turn
mm-hmm.
your attention
mm-hmm.
away, there's no reality to it at all. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're right. Every
yeah.
time that comes up, you want to acknowledge it. Yeah. Yep. That happened. That's not happening now. Go have fun.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry.
Yeah.
And there's a way, Vanessa, in which you're also reassuring, in quotes, yourself. Because you're bringing that conscious, compassionate awareness to the whole system. And it's kind of code for we're at center. There's consciousness. There's compassion. We're fine. We're all right, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything can relax in
yeah.
the presence of that conscious, compassionate awareness. And from there you act. From there you go forth in your life to do whatever it is that you're called upon to do.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah.
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 Have we ever talked about Cheryl?
I've heard you mention Cheryl. Yes.
Yeah. So Cheryl's the reason I'm Sherry, and so Cheryl is 8 years old, and she is a hit person, and her philosophy is the only good adult is a dead adult. She's heavily armed, and she is incredibly dangerous. And she operated much of my life until I came to awareness practice. And so the arrangement that we made, and so I offer this for you and your little pal, okay? The arrangement that we made was, if I went unconscious and I wasn't taking care of everything, then Cheryl could come in and take care of it. And I would never say anything critical to her. I wouldn't let anybody beat her up because she was doing what needed to be done to take care of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of that is, as long as I stay present, she can go play at the creek.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't like people. Right? She likes being at the
right.
creek. Now she'll come
right.
she'll come back heavily armed if there's a war. But until that happens, she wants to be with her dog at the creek. I bet the same is true for your little person.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, she just wants to be out playing, for sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Yep. Now, if you get into a state, she'll come back and do the anxiety, but she really rather not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good,
thank
isn't it?
You.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is
thank
good.
You, Vanessa.
And I
it is good. It's
yeah.
so restful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so restful. Yeah. I look forward to freeing other beings or I don't even know what they are.
Well, it just stuck places. You know, things that have gotten stuck in karma, in ego, places of suffering that we can bring into conscious, compassionate awareness and free. They're just waiting for us to wake up enough to free them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Stay dry.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. Oh, Sherry, you can just feel in listening to that conversation, the movement in it is extraordinary. And I could say so much about it. And the thing that just occurs to me that on sort of a, I don't even know, like meta process level is I so appreciate when essentially what it feels like Vanessa was doing is furthering the conversation that we started, that you invited us into with the newsletter recording, with the workshop that you did. And I so appreciate it. I guess I'm on this drag tonight, but when people do that, when they bring their own particular questions around it, because we're being invited into some really deep places, and if we don't have questions, then something's not happening there, because it brings up a lot of questions.
We're just not paying attention, huh?
Something. And so to have people be willing to bring what they're seeing and how that, and I'm not really sure about this piece and what, it just so fills it out for me, at least, and also shows up where the assumptions were that I might not have been seeing. You know, so when, you know, the guide says something, it's like either, well, as you said earlier, when your teacher would say something like, what in the world are you talking about? Or there can be the other side of it. Oh, yeah, okay, I think I see that. But do we really? Yeah. And so to have people continue the conversation is just huge.
It really is. Yeah. And it's the focus of our attention. You alluded to this, but it's staying with it. It's all a koan. Just staying in that curious, open, looking place, and then life will reveal its mysteries to us. All of it. If we can get out of the head, get here, with that open-hearted attitude, everything will be revealed to us. All right. Well, great job.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. Yep.
You got the commercial in and everything. Yep.
I know, exactly.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Go happy.
Bye. Good night. Go happy.
Good night.